Happy Resurrection Sunday. There have been days when I didn't think I would have made it to the place where I am now with years, but since there was a resurrection a long time ago, that's why I'm able to be here today. For that, we said thank you. I thank you for getting up this morning and being in your sound mind. You come to the house of God. And if you don't know it, you will know it by the time you leave here. I'm selfish. And I'm self-centered. I'm looking at a bunch of people, to me, that got up early this morning, got dressed, put on your Sunday best, and you only did that because you knew I was going to be standing. This is it. This is why you did what you did this morning, and I thank you for thinking that much about me. See, you were thinking about me when you didn't know you were thinking about me. And I just appreciate that. For subject today, an empty celebration. I thought about doing something that to show you that when something is full, you can still put something else in it. You just have to know what you can put in it to add to it. If you would get a big 5-gallon bucket and fill it up with rocks, concrete, little breakup pieces, you could still get some fine sand and put in that bucket after it gets full of the rocks. After it got full of the sand, you could take some water and pour in it and fill it up again with water. You got rocks, you got sand, and you got water. After you do that, you could still get some food coloring and put it in there and fill it up again. After you have done that, you could get some salt and put in it, and it still would stay in it. After you've done that, you could get some black pepper and put in it, and it would stay in it. The point that I'm trying to get across to you, something is empty, is all in how you look at it. And if it's full, it's all how you look at it. An empty celebration is a celebration that to somebody don't mean anything at all. I'm a basketball nut. Last night, if I would have been watching the game, there would have been an empty celebration because I was saying Kentucky was going to win it all. I know, I can look at you and tell somebody you just got that little smirk. It's all right. But my point is that sometimes celebrations are empty. And sometimes it looks as if they're empty, and they're not. And this is one of them. It looks like it's an empty celebration. Brother Eric and Brother Larry, if I stay right here to do what I'm going to do, half of them can't see what I'm going to do. If I back up here Can you put me up there so everybody can see what I'm doing? Okay. All right. So now if you watch me, you might miss it. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to be about half through when I finish my story. There was a class of 19 students at a religious school, elementary school. And there was one student in there. They were all in the second grade. There was a student in there by the name of Jeremy. Jeremy was a special student. He had learning disabilities, but his parents did not want him treated as if he was somebody special. So they put him in a regular class with regular second grade students. He was about 12 years old in the second grade. And so since it was a religious school, the teacher had been talking to them about the resurrection. And she had explained to them about the resurrection. And she told them, said, I want to give you a science assignment. She said, I'm going to give each one of you an egg here, and this egg is going to be empty. So, but when you go home, I want you to get with your parents and find something that show that that springtime is here and things are coming alive. Said, I'm going to give every one of you an egg, an empty plastic egg, and I want you to take it home and bring it back tomorrow. All the other 18 students were excited. Jeremy just stayed about midway to class in his seat and never said a mumbling word. The teacher, by the way, name was Miss Miller. After Miss Miller made the assignment, she said, uh-oh. Because she picked up on Jeremy was not excited as the other children were. She wrote herself a mental note on her mental pad in her mind and said, I need to call his parents this afternoon and let them know what he's supposed to do with that egg when he gets home so they can help him and he will not be embarrassed tomorrow when he comes back to class. And if you've never taught 19 second grade students, you're going to miss this one line of this story. The rest of Miss Miller's day didn't have but three words in it. Busy, busy, busy. And she forgot to call Jeremy's parents to explain the assignment to them. So here they are. Fast forward to the next morning. All the students are in class and excited about what they are going to do. They bring their egg and they put it on the desk. I'm going to move out the way, Larry. And I only have four here. So you can just imagine the other 15. The eggs are on the teacher's desk. All the students are excited. Jeremy put his up there too. They look at them, she look at them, and they get started, and she says, okay, it's time to do the eggs. She took one. She said, she held it up. A hand went up on the back. That's mine, Miss Miller. Said, and this is what we found. She opened it up, and yesterday when I picked these, they were white. She said, this shows that this plant was alive because it blossomed with flowers. And it was alive, and springtime was coming. She said, oh, that's beautiful. They did well. Picked up another one. You always got those special people in your class that are real good. They excel in everything. And this was this one. She as soon as Miss Miller picked it up, she jumped up. That's mine. So we worked on this all night, last night, trying to find it. And we finally found it. And she opened it up. And there stood a bright
red, beautiful rose. She said, this proved that springtime is here and things are coming alive. Y'all had to drop. If anything can be dropped, I'll drop. And she said, we got this out of my grandmama's garden, her rose garden. See, and we worked on this, and we got the prettiest rose that we could find. Everybody was real glad when the teacher picked up theirs. Here's mine. That's mine. That's mine. This one stayed true to form. Said, we picked that side the road. Said, but the people that owned it said we could pick it. Said, and this proved that spring bring things alive. She did this to everybody's egg. And everybody was real happy when she picked up their egg. She picked up Jeremy's egg. He didn't say anything. She took it open and looked and saw nothing was in it and put it down. Jeremy, in the back of the class, jumped up and raised his hand up and said, Miss Miller, said, that's my egg. That's my egg. You just went back and said, say something about my egg. She said, Jeremy, nothing is in your egg to prove that anything is alive. He said, Miss Miller, said Jesus' tomb was empty when they went to look in his tomb. Said it was empty. Said, and that proves that something is alive. Said, just because you don't see something that looks like it's alive, sometimes something that's empty got some life in it. Point number one. Those of us that are alive today, it's because we at one time had a life that was empty. Point number one is an empty life. If you are a believer, at one time your life was empty. And based upon I studied this, y'all, but I didn't know where he was gonna take me. Go outside. No, drink it and bring me the empty bottle back. When we have an empty life, it means what's on the inside, should be on the inside of us, is not there. Now, I did that to him because he's a health nut and he likes to do things so it can help his body. He needed that water in him. He just did not know that he needed it in him. You do know you were my guinea pig back then. Thank you. See, he was empty of something that he needed. What determines you're empty is by what you need, and sometimes what you need, you do not know that you need it. We have an empty life. This is why some people can go on diets. They can stand to be empty from food, and some of us can't. So we're not empty. But my point in having him to do that was this. Now, you might have to drink this one, too. Minister Allen and Brother Brunson, I see another one of my friends over there, Mr. Wheeler. Y'all may have to help me out because I keep hearing my wife mumbling over here. Listen. when you take something from one place and put it in another place, the place where you're taking it from becomes empty. The place where you are putting what you're taking from this place, this becomes full. When you allow Christ, help me, Holy Ghost, to come in your life, he leaves, the Spirit of God leaves himself and come and fill you. He does not deplete himself to fill you. He just adds to himself. When God empties himself and fills you, he does not really, as we call, empty himself. He said he can open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room. This means he is emptying himself so he can help you. This is what Christ did when he went to the cross, when he left heaven to come down here. He emptied himself. Mama, you cook dinner. Nobody's at home but you to eat what you fix, because they all are out doing something else. You turn it down on simmer and you can leave it. And if you're a real good cook, like most of you are, it won't burn. But some of us that are not cooks, we turn it on simmer, it'll burn, because we've done something that was contrary to the cooking laws. Mine would have been trying to cook it too fast. And that's what we do with God sometimes. We try to get too fast with God. We know what we want to do. We know where we want to go and what we want to do, but we don't want to do it on God's time. We have an empty life, and he's trying to fill it, but we want him to hurry up. There was some places in the Bible where some things was empty. In John chapter 6, you'll find that there was about 5,000 people that was empty. A little boy brought his lunch, two fish and five loaves of bread. Jesus took those two fish and five loaves of bread and filled up better than 5,000 stomachs, because they were there. He filled them. See, brothers and sisters, everything that's empty need to be filled. And then at his first miracle, he was at a wedding and they ran out of wine. Water pots were empty. He took and filled them with water, and then he added something to it. He added the work of the Holy Spirit, and the water became wine. You see, so everything that's empty is not bad. A lot of things that's empty, you just need to allow God to fill it. And when God fill it, it will be filled with what he needs for you to do. Don't worry about what others may say about you being empty and you being dry and you being dead. Just let them know that when God fills you, everything will be all right. I was walking around here this morning, and I walked out back with some trees out back. It's four of them out back, and I've been watching them for the last 5 or 6 years. And I walked out there this morning, and I saw something I hadn't seen before. One of them just as dead as anything you've ever seen. But I've been looking at that tree, and I've been looking. When I walk around and look at it, I look right at the bottom, and I never remembered to look up until this morning. Thought the tree was full, but it was empty. And see, it's empty because life is gone from the bottom of it. The others are around in the same place, and they are yet alive. So see, some people that help the Holy Ghost, and don't get angry with me, just look at yourself. Some people been coming to church with you every day that you come, been doing the same things that you were doing. But they're dead. They empty. They don't have no God on the inside of them. They know how to play church. If you don't believe people know how to play church, or well, it might not be still coming on now watching in the heat of the night. They know how to play church. They know how to do the church of things. And don't you feel bad, because some of these young people, if you go to church at the same place regular, they may play church and do you when you don't know they're doing you. Like they do me. They do me. They stutter just like I stutter. They got it down pat. They can do it just like I do it and do it the same way, the same mannerism. They can play church mimicking you. So therefore, what I'm saying is that some people just come, and if you get in the habit of playing church, that's all you'll ever do. But you'll, one of these times you'll be playing church and nobody won't know. Everybody else will still think you're playing church, but you won't be playing. And you'll be doing the same thing, walking in the same way you walk, but your heart is changed. See, when something is empty, get filled with what God has. He changes the heart. He doesn't change the outside of you. He changes the inside of you. If you got an empty life, I got a recipe for you. I got a prescription for you. Allow this man that we call Jesus to come inside your heart and live. And all you got to do is just invite him, and you won't have to invite him twice. If you invite him once, and you're serious about inviting him in, you will not have an empty life, because where God is, it's full. It's as full as you let it be. But you have to invite him inside of your heart, and God will change your life. You will not have an empty life. Point number two, there's the empty cross. I look sometime, you see people, you see crosses that people have, and they still have a little figure on it. I said, I wonder who is that? Is that the man that was on the left, or that the man that was on the right? Because it's not the man that was in the middle, because the middle man is not there. The middle man is gone, which was Jesus Christ. A cross is empty, and yet it is full. It's empty because it's full. It's empty and it's full at the same time. It's empty with the eyes, but it's full of God. The tomb that Jesus was laid in, that they put him in, that he borrowed for the weekend, he was in there, but man couldn't see it because God is a spirit, and the body was not there. What they were looking for was not there. The cross is full of our sins, but God have taken care of your sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he took your sins away from you. He was beaten, he was broken, and he was bruised on that empty cross. He took all of that on himself. He didn't ask for anybody to help him. He said, I'll do this one myself. I'll take care of it. When I couldn't go to where he was, he made a decision to come where I was. Wherever you are, God can find you. No matter what your address is, you may be lost to everybody else, but if you begin to seek Jesus Christ, he can find you right where you are, because the cross is empty. Yes, it's empty of the body of Christ, but it's full of God and the Holy Spirit, because he didn't go there so people could stay and look at him. He went there on his way. He was just traveling through here, and to get back to where he needed to be, he had to go through the cross. When I couldn't get to him, I know I said that before, he got to where I am. And sometimes we get to looking for God, and we're looking for him, we're looking for the right thing, but we're looking in the wrong places. You need to look for him where he is. And I heard you when you asked me, where is it? He's everywhere, but you just got to know when he show up. If you ask him, he'll come into your heart. And don't think that he'll only save you around Easter time. Easter time is no time, but God can save you anytime. All you got to do is just submit yourself to him, and he will save your soul. He will take your sins. He died so you would have a right to the tree of life. Without death, without his death, you cannot receive eternal life. With God, you'll receive eternal life, but it it will be away from God. When he died, he made a way for you and me to get back in fellowship with God. Yes, the tomb was empty and the cross was empty, but Christ is not empty. He has just what you need. The cross is full of prayer. It's full of the promises of God. It's full of salvation. It's full of healing. Looks like it's empty, but it's full of the things that God have promised you that he would do for you. Don't let somebody else decide that you don't be saved. You got to go for yourself. Mama and Papa can do a lot of things for you, but they can't get saved for you. You got to do it for yourself. There's some things you need to do for yourself. The promise of an empty cross is that you can stand, and you will stand, and you will be forgiven, because Christ, because the cross is empty, you will be forgiven. My final point, point number three, the empty tomb. One of the empty tomb is one of the infallible proofs. The Romans and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews, all they had to do, I said this morning in Sunday school, was take everybody that if he was in the grave, all they had to do was take him to it and show it to him. They never did, because the tomb was empty. It was empty because he wasn't there. He told them, said, if you tear down this temple, I'll build it back in 3 days. They were looking at a physical structure and said, it took us 46 years to build this, and here he's going to build, tear it down and build it in 3 days. He can't do that. Oh, but he did. And bright early on the third day morning, he got up out of the grave, and he got up out of the grave with all power in his hand. Didn't get part of it. He got all of the power that he needed, and that power is still today. Now, y'all sung the song, there's power in the blood, in the blood of Jesus, the blood that he shed it. He shed it for you and for me. The blood will wash you clean. That's why the tomb is empty, because you needed to be washed, and I needed to be washed, and tide and gain couldn't clean you like the blood of Jesus. When you get washed in the blood, everything will be all right. It doesn't mean that you will never sin again. No, ma'am, and no, sir, because you will do it again. But you got a reliever. You got something called the Holy Spirit, and you got a pill that I call the pill of repentance. You got to repent. You got to tell God, God, I sinned against you. I hurt you, and I'm sorry. It's just like a good child when they misbehave and their parents find out about it. They don't want them to know it, but then they fess up and they tell them, and the parents just turn right around and say, that's all right, baby, I still love you. Because you sin, it doesn't mean that God gonna kick you out of heaven. But there are consequences for all your sin. You got to pay for it, and you're not gonna have to pay for all of it once you get on the other side. You're gonna pay for some of it on this side, for the things that you do wrong. You got to know that God, the empty tomb proves that God will forgive you of your sin, and you don't have to keep going back to him if you're serious from your heart. He will forgive you. I'm about to get out your way, but I need to tell you another story, and I'll be out your way. There was this father and this son riding down a road in a country, on a country red road, and they had the windows down. The son was allergic to bees, and with the window down, a bee came in, and then they rolled the windows up, and the son got panicky, and he got scared, because if the bee were to sting him, he'd swell up, and he's allergic to them, and he would have something to happen to him. But then the father looked up and saw the bee, and he reached and grabbed him in his hand and squeezed him in his hand, and he stung the daddy in his hand, and then the daddy turned him loose, and then the son got panicky again. He said, daddy, why did you turn him loose? He said, son, he doesn't have but one stinger. said, and it's in my hand. He can't hurt you. See, that's what Jesus have done to death. He's taken the sting out of death. Death can't hurt me. Death is on my way. I'm getting closer to glory. But you got to go through. You got to go through death. If you go before he comes back, you got to go through death. And there is no sting. Someone said, by the time you bat your eye, if you a believer in Jesus Christ, you'll be in the presence of Lord God Almighty. Ain't God all right? Yes, the tomb may be empty and the cross may be empty, but they're filled with something else. Think of the first story I told you. When you fill the bucket full of big rocks, you can put something else in it. Well, when I get saved, I sin, I lie, I can put it in there, but God can take it out because he's my Father, and he died so I would have a right to the tree of life. You can't be God, no matter how you try. If you think you can be God, you're making a mistake. Listen, God can do great and wonderful things, and he have done it. If you don't believe he's done it, the next time you look in the mirror, look at yourself and see how wonderfully made you are, because God created you in his image. Yes, the tomb may be empty, and Christ went to the cross. He did all of that. He did all of that for me. He did all of that for me. Little old me. Everybody else could have been on their way, but he did it for me. Brothers and sisters, the tomb was empty. And the Pharisees and the Jews had an empty celebration. The Romans had an empty celebration. Can you just see them? Especially on that second day, when they knew he had been dead and had been in the grave that long, you can just see them. Oh, we got him. He's not up. That's why they sent a guard at the tomb, because they remembered what he had said. If you tear this one down 3 days, I'll build another one. And isn't it strange? The Bible tells us that those other people remembered what Jesus had said. Uh-oh. And his disciples didn't seem to register with them. And I say that because when you keep reading and you find out where they went to the tomb early that morning, they didn't believe it. Because the word in there upbraided, meaning he had to get on to them, because they didn't believe what the women had told them. So you see, we get it all messed up and we forget what his word have told us. This word of God is true. Yes, he was crucified. They put him in a borrowed tomb. But he didn't stay there but 3 days and 3 nights. And the Bible says he got up with all power in his hand. And that power is still operating today. All we have to do is plug into it. It's about eight light switches back there. When you come in here in the morning, it's dark. But the power to turn the lights on is still there.
If you don't ever flip that switch, you will not have the light from above. And that's the way it is with Christ. Until you flip the switch to receive him into your life, you won't have him. He's just right there, just waiting on you. The ball is in your court. It's what you do with it. You decide whether you will flip the switch or not. With that, we'll extend an invitation. Will you stand? Listen, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you want to give him a chance, this will be your time. Come and commit your life to Christ, and he will take away all of your sin. But you have to submit to him. You have to want to come to Christ. Will you come? Come to Christ just as you are. He will save you. I can't save you, but I can tell you about the one who can. Will you come to Christ today and give him your life? Surrender your life to him and he will take you. Will you come? Will you come? If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, this is your day, this is your time to come. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. We are.